Last week we began to discuss some of the halachas and the minhagim of the penemitzarim of the 3 weeks. Now we move on to the next level of avelos, and that's the halachas and the minhagim of the 9 days. So as we pointed out last week, that the 3 weeks really are not rooted in the halacha itself. I mean, there is no Gemara that talks about the different practices of the 3 weeks. They're basically minhagim, but the 9 days already, the concept of Rosh Chodesh Av, that already is a concept that exists in halacha. The Gemara speaks about it, the Mishnah speaks about it, the end of Maseches Tainis, Mishnah Nichnas Av Ma'atin B'Simcha, that from the beginning of Chodesh Av, so one is supposed to minimize the different things that one does in involving Simcha. So there's already a real halacha of Avelos that begins starting from Rosh Chodesh Av. Many of the practices that we have, we associate with the 9 days, many of them are in fact minhagim. That's true. We'll try to point out as we go on which are real halachas and which are minhagim. But the idea of avelos already from Rosh Chodesh Av, that exists in Medina de Gemara. What exactly is one not allowed to do starting from Rosh Chodesh Av? So the Gemara speaks about mematan, b'masa, b'matan, that a person is supposed to minimize the amount of business, the amount of buying and selling that one does. So there is a machlekes of Rishonim. What exactly does that mean? So some Rishonim interpret it literally that one's not supposed to buy things during the 9 days. Supposed to really cut down. You have to go to the store, buy a container of milk. That's all right. But I'm saying one should really try to minimize all kinds of unnecessary business dealings during the 9 days. And other Rishonim say no, that only those types of business dealings which are simcha oriented, means if you're going to go buy stuff you need for a big party after the 9 days or something, so that kind of thing should be avoided. But you're buying just basic necessities, so even if it's not absolutely critical, you could push it off for a couple of days, but still it would be mutter. There's nothing wrong with buying things which are not in Yadam Shal Simcha. So, lechatchila, one should try to avoid this, one should try to be machmir in this. Mishnah Berurah writes that many people used to be very makel on this. In Eastern Europe, it was very hard. People, because she had any money for anything, so if a person, there was a good deal or something, so a person would run even during the 9 days to buy. But as long as that's not such a big tzarech, so unless there's some very, very great need, one should try to minimize the amount of buying and selling one does until after Tisha B'Av. The Gemara speaks about not doing construction, not building things during the Mishnah Nichnas Av. So what exactly is included in this? So this is also a big machlekes in Rishonim. What exactly are the guidelines in terms of this? So we usually assume as follows, that anything that's considered to be mamish a repair, like in the sense of something dangerous, so your roof is going to collapse or something, that's okay. That you're allowed to do during the 9 days. But unnecessary type of construction, things that can be pushed off till afterwards, so why don't you try to push off until afterwards? So the Rishonim discuss what is the halacha in the following. If a person is not going to be doing the construction themselves, they're hiring a non-Jew to do the construction for them, and they hire the non-Jew in what's called Kaplonus. So Kaplonus means that I'm not paying the guy per hour, I'm not paying the guy per day, I'm paying the guy for a job. So I hire a contractor from in January that he should build me a house for the next year. So what's the law? Is he permitted to be working for me during the period of the 9 days or not? Is that considered to be unnecessary type of building? So some of you may remember, this was the shiur that was never said. That if you remember, it was 2 years ago. I'm not mistaken, it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, right? It was 2 years ago in June, so we were looking for something to talk about for like 3 weeks before the summer. So I thought we would talk about all issues of construction, all the issues of going working for you on Shabbos, and working for you on Yom Tov, working on Chol HaMoed, and working for you on Tisha B'Av for the 9 days and everything. So we started to say the shiurim, so I said, I think one or two of the shiurim, and then I got sick, and I came down with that virus. I was out, knocked out of commission for 2 weeks. So we had to cancel the last two shiurim of the year, and that topic got hanging in midair. So I don't think we're going to finish the whole topic now. We'll just allude to what I would have said in that those last 2 weeks. We'll try to say in 2 minutes now. So there was we assume as follows, Mishnah Berurah paskins, that if the non-Jew was hired from beforehand and the work actually started from beforehand, and now it comes to Chodesh Av and the guy still wants to continue to work, so Mikra, then it's mutter to let him continue to work, because just as in Ilcha Shabbos, we have this whole discussion in Ilcha Shabbos, if you hire a person from beforehand, so technically speaking, he's allowed to finish the job on Shabbos. I'll say, L'moshleva, if I give in a suit to the cleaners in Erev Shabbos, so as long as I don't tell him you have to do it on Shabbos, and I give it to him a minute before Shki on Friday, and I say I need it the second after Avdolim on Shabbos, that's a problem. But the Mishnah says in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, if I give it to him, the option, I give it to him early on Friday, or I give it to him late on Friday, and tell him I don't need it till Monday afternoon or something, so akamadai to the nafshik of it, that he's working at his own pace. I'm not paying him to work on Shabbos, I'm paying him to clean the suit. If he chooses to clean the suit on Shabbos, that's his own scheduling. So that, technically speaking, is not a problem in terms of Ilcha Shabbos. Even though that's true in terms of Ilcha Shabbos in general, when it comes to construction and building, those kinds of of things. So that is potentially problematic on Shabbos for other reasons. There are issues of Maris Ayin involved, others, those are Shabbos, other reasons why the halacha prohibits that. So if you remember from those shirim, the part of the shirim that we did say 2 years ago, so we said that there is a big machlekes of Rishonim about if a person hires somebody, let's say, to build a house for a whole year, and now the non-Jew wants to do some of the work on Shabbos. So whereas Rabbi Natan was making that shayla, most of the Rishonim are machmir that shayla. We assume that on Shabbos that's a problem. On Shabbos it's a problem. On Yom Tov it's a problem. Maybe even on Chol HaMoed it's a problem. So we assume that if you have any kind of building or construction, anything going on in your house on Shabbos, so that's not appropriate, even though you hired the person as a general contractor before Shabbos. We try to avoid that on Shabbos if one is able to. We always have a shayla. What if I tell the non-Jew not to come? Then he goes and he comes anyway. So my mechuyif to tell him to leave. So that's also machlekes in the poskim. Whether sometimes they tell him to leave, he doesn't leave. So okay, what are you going to do? What arrest the guy. What are you going to do? He comes. He's doing the work. But lechatchila, we assume you should try to tell the guy to leave. If a person comes to your house to do the work on Shabbos, it's really preferable to tell him not to come today.
Jewish builder, you have to specify.
A Jewish builder, how do you can't have right? Jewish builder,
you have to specify telling the contractor that they can't work.
I don't know, if they're riding to the county, you have to tell them you can't come on Shabbos. So even though on Shabbos we tend to be machmir in this, the Mishnah Berurah says, Me'ika, Mikra, and Din, in terms of the 9 days, obviously much more lenient, so then we're more makel about this. That if a person hired somebody to work on the house for X amount of time, and he started from before, and now he just happens to show up after Rosh Chodesh, so technically speaking that would be okay. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah writes, and not everybody agrees to it, so therefore the chetchila, well, it's a big tzarech, the guy's willing, sometimes it is a big tzarech, sometimes if you tell a guy not to come for a week, he'll tell you, okay, I won't come for a week, I won't come for another 6 months either. Even if he tells you he's coming for the week, he may not show up for the 6 months. Anyone who's done construction knows the ins and outs of construction. I see some people, some faces dropping from the remembrance of those difficult days. So I saw there was a study once, like in terms of what is the highest like sources of stress in a person's life. So it was just punk when we were building a house. So I think it was like number two, like after some very, very serious types of stress, like construction was up there on the list. So anyway, so getting back to this story, so the Mishnah Berurah says that l'chatchila, it's better to try to avoid it. If one can avoid all kind of building and stuff during the 9 days, it's better to do that. But if the guy started before and then it's a b'derech kabla, and if non-Jews was doing the work, so technically speaking, that would be okay. It means it wouldn't be. It means we're not as concerned about the Maris Ayin here. That's such a serious marasai. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if it's a makom mitzvah, so he quotes the Rishonim who say that for sure it's mutter. So if you're building a shul or something, a mikvah and things like that, so that would be that wouldn't be subject to this discussion altogether. So we had this issue when we were building our house. So we had started the construction. We bought the house at the beginning of June, so we had started the construction then. And then Punkin came in the middle of the summer, so came Rosh Chodesh Av. So it rained like every day. I remember it was like the entire week of. When it rains during the 9 days, so the only people who are upset are the lifeguards because they feel like they're losing, because anyway they're off at camp from swimming, so they want it to rain the rest of the summer so they can get the whole summer off. But it was raining for the whole week of Chodesh Av. So I was thinking, okay, no, Baruch Hashem, so no one's going to do any construction, they're not going to come. Then Punko figured the sun comes out, Erev Tisha B'Av. So the whole crew comes, the entire crew comes, Akam Mikal Kol, Erev Tisha B'Av, they're starting banging away. So that year I was up in the mountains. My wife was home. It was in the middle of the week, so my wife was home. So she calls me Tisha B'Av morning and said, "You won't believe it, but they're putting up the frame of the house. The entire house is being built. Mamash on Tisha B'Av." So I said, so 2 reasons, Yesh L'Hokal. I said, first of all, I said, Me'ika Mikra Din it's Mutter because it was a Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah started his work from beforehand, even though the Mishnah Berurah said L'chatchila to avoid that, but this was B'Mokom Mitzvah, because it wasn't just the house, they were putting up the frame of the shul. So I tell them, they can only work on the shul today, they can't work on the other side of the house, it wasn't going to work. So whatever they were doing that with B'Mokom Mitzvah, so the Mishnah Berurah says B'Mokom Mitzvah, it's even L'chatchila. So in case anyone's interested, the actual frame of Orat Torah was put up on Tisha B'Av, believe it or not.
Couldn't you analyze that differently? That the reason why construction of your house would not be permitted during the 9 days was a personal simcha. You're happy with your house. But when you deal with an institution kind of thing, a shul or a mikveh, it's not a personal simcha. It's a community kind of thing. And that's and something else. That's not what I think is us to happen on.
Okay, you have to talk to the people in charge of the mikveh committee. It's probably a great simcha for them to see the mikveh be put up. So, I don't know. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, the Mishnah Berurah's make a lot of it if it's a makom mitzvah. again, so the two things that the Gemara speaks about in terms of Mishan Nichnas Av Mematim. So one is Mematim the Simcha in terms of Mekach Memka, with the different opinions what Mekach Memka means. And the other din that appears in the Gemara is the idea of trying to minimize the amount of construction that's not absolutely critical during the period of the 9 days as well. There are other things that we practice during the 9 days which are not really din of the Gemara, which are the sources in different Minhagi Yisrael. So we'll try to go through some of the more famous ones now. So one of the most famous ones is the Isra Bos of Yayin. So where does the Isra Bos of Yayin come from? They're not allowed to have meat, not allowed to have wine. So the Rishonim point out that this is based on the Gemara at the end of the third Perek of Bava Basra. The Gemara tells us that at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were a group of individuals who decided they're going to refrain from eating meat and drinking wine. Lagamre means, how can they eat meat and drink wine if their own meat is brought as a korban, wine is brought as a korban, we spoke about yesterday in the Shia, wine is poured in the Mizbeach. How can we eat meat and drink wine at a time of korban? So the Chachamim, when they heard about these individuals, so they said to them, it's an interesting idea. They said, but if you really want to be consistent, so you should stop eating fruit also, because fruit used to be brought as bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. How can you partake of fruit if there's no more bikurim? So they said, you're right, we're not gonna have bikurim anymore, we're not gonna have fruit anymore. So then the Chachamim said to them, you really should stop eating bread, because flour and oil and water was brought on the Mizbeach, Karban Mincha, so it's not appropriate to eat the bread anymore. So they said, yeah, it's a good way to start to lose weight. So they said, yeah, you're talking right, we're going to stop that. So then the Chum said to them, you should stop drinking water, because that we can't. You stop drinking water, because water used to be brought on the Mizbeach, Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis, so it's not appropriate. So the people said, wait a second, so we can't have meat, and can't have wine, and can't have fruit, can't have bread, and can't have water, so what should we have? So the Chum said to them, you see that even though your Kavana is proper, even though you really have the right intention, your heart's in the right place, but you can't make such a gezeirah, you can't make such a decree to stop eating meat and wine. It's not possible, the Gemara says, that it's a gezeirah she'en rov tziv yichol lamed, but you can't make a gezeirah that all of Klal Yisrael should stop eating meat and wine. It's not shaykh to do that. So therefore, the Chachamim said that we're not going to make it as an issa. We're not going to prohibit eating meat and drinking wine, even though it makes sense what the people are saying. They're not off base what they're saying, but Afal Bichein, we're not going to do it. So that's what the Rishonim write, that even though the Chacham said it's a gezeirah and rov tzibuchom lama, but we can't accept such a gezeirah the entire year, but 1 week a year we can accept it. It means 1 week a year we could follow what we really should all have been doing. None of us should be having meat and wine ever the whole year as a zeicha l'chorban, as a zeicha to the karbanos that are not brought anymore, the nesachim that are not brought anymore. But we can't institute it the whole year. At least for 1 week of the year we will institute it. And that's where the minute comes from. That's why the ma'aseh we refrain from bosav yayin. It's not because of avel was proper, because after all, an avel's allowed to have bosav yayin. There's nothing wrong with an avel during shiva eating bosav yayin. An onain is not allowed to eat bosav yayin, but an avel is permitted to have Bosav Yayin. So our refraining from Bosav Yayin, the 9 days, has nothing to do with, it's not a fables proper. It's a specific Zeich L'Churban based in that Gemara of the Basra. Since the whole prohibition of Bosav Yayin is only B'Toras Minog, therefore the Rishonim write that when it's a specific Mokom Mitzvah, so then we lift this Isser. One of the examples, the obvious examples on Shabbos, or Shabbos is Mutlach Chila, to have Bosav Yayin. But there are other lower level types of Simchas, which we also, the Minig is to permit Bosav Yayin. So of course the most famous one is Asiyah Masechta. So the Ramah writes that the Minig Yisrael is, the Minig in our communities, is to be Maker when you have Asiyah Masechta. The only thing is, the Ramah writes that you should be careful, you don't have invite millions of people to the Siyah, you should try to invite, a bare minimum kinds of people. So the post can give different guidelines. You should have dafka minyan, you have maybe a little bit more than a minyan, your relatives, your friends, but it shouldn't be as a hefkevel in terms of a seal. So there is a famous kula from Moshe Feinstein that has become the source for the minhag in the last 50 years or so, called the camp kula, that Rav Moshe writes that the poskim, the earlier poskim, write that you're allowed to have your bnei ba'yis, you're allowed to have your family members, and then after your immediate family members, then you can invite a few friends, a few extra people to make the minyan. But the fact you're allowed to make a scene with your family, that's for sure okay. You would make a scene with your family any other day of the year, so of course you're allowed to make a scene with your family. So Rav Moshe writes that if a person goes to camp, so he has a very, very big family for those 2 months. He's got 1,000 kids. Those are his bnei ba'yis. He eats everyone 3 meals a day with the same people all the time for the whole summer. So for the summertime, they're considered to be his bnei ba'yis. So therefore, Moshe said that in a camp setting, so everybody's considered to be part of the one, I should say one big happy family, but at least not from Kalawa, but one big family, so everyone's all happy together, eating together. So that's considered to be all right. That's considered to be not a violation of what the Ramah says, that you should try to minimize people, because family members, you're not mechuyav to minimize. So all the people in camp are considered to be bnei habayis. So then the question is, how far does that go? So let's say a person goes to a hotel. So if you're in a hotel for a week, you're in a hotel for 2 weeks, so maybe you're eating with the same people, you're all eating in the same dining room, you can extend that. That's also maybe considered to be bnei habayis. guy goes to a restaurant. So it happens to be the people who are eating at the next table might be biased, and it's hard to believe. The context of Ramosha's cool with camps and hotels was a little bit of kvias, a little bit of permanency. A guy runs into, a guy pops into Kosher Delight, so the guy at the next table can be part of a siyum. It sounds a little bit strange. So, but one should only minimize this cool of Ramosha. One should limit it to the case that Ramosha originally had it by, the camps and hotels, things of that nature. Even there are others who didn't like it. There were contemporary poskim who had issues with it. There was a whole series of articles a couple of years ago in one of the from the magazines about should we follow this P'sach of Ramosha, not follow the P'sach of Ramosha. So somebody wrote some strong, very, very sharp article about how terrible it is the camps are doing this, that they teaching the kids to have meat and not to want to have meat in the 9 days. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Said, who told them it's mutter? So somebody else wrote back, who told them it's mutter? Said, Ramosha Feinstein, Paskin, the Shalom 50 years ago, it's mutter. You want to be machmeh? You want to claim that it's not such proper chinuch? Okay, so you can people about it. But you can't say it's also, the God of Lador was Mary, particularly in this case. They asked him, the camps in the Catskills, they asked him 50 years ago. So he was Mekel, so it's hard to say it's also. So again, yesh for yesh, some will do this and some will don't do this. But I found in my years in camp over the last couple, I used to go back to Marasha, so the siyums would take so long, because until they would get everybody together, normally a normal dinner took about 10 minutes. You go and you grab your food, but the siyums, until everyone sat down, until the guy made the siyum, the guy gave a whole hadron for an hour and a half. So I usually had my kids, my wife would only come on for Shabbos, so I had the three of my kids with me, so they couldn't sit so long. I decided for us it was much easier to go pizza. My kids like pizza anyway, so we used to have 5 nights in a row pizza. We could run down to Lake Como Pizza in case anyone knows where that is. It may have been a greater simcha for the kids than the meat, but the no. Yesh v'yesh. Anyway, so Meikir Mikra did it. It's mutter based on Ramosha's Pesach, but there are some who didn't like to follow this. There are other situations that arise where also considered to be Mapa Mitzvah. So we have bris, things like that. It's also considered to be Mapa Mitzvah. Then the Rambam discusses the issue of the wine of Havdalah. So that's also considered to be a Mokom Mitzvah. On Shabbos, you're allowed to drink wine. So the wine of Havdalah is also a Mokom Mitzvah. So Mikra, then you're allowed to drink that also. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes that since Shabbos is already over and there's a way to avoid it, you should try to avoid it. How do you avoid it? So you give it to a child. So the Rambam writes that the proper practice on Matzah Shabbos of Chazon is to recite Havdalah on wine, or grape juice, whatever it is we said last night. You make Havdalah on the grape juice, and then rather than the person drinking it himself, so he gives it to a child to drink. So what kind of a child is able to drink it? So the Ramon, the later post can point out, you have to be very, very careful how old this child is. If the child's too young or too old, it's going to be a problem. If the child's too young, it's a two-year-old, you're going to give them the grape juice to drink. So that's a problem, because the child is lohigil achinich abracha. So the child doesn't know how to make a bracha yet. So then it's a bracha of a tala for me. So I'm making a bar priyag off, and the kid's not listening, he's not answering on me, he doesn't know what's going on. So then that's mamash a bracha of a tala. So that's a problem. But if the child is too old, the poskim say, if he already understands the concepts of Churban and Tisha B'Av and Yerushalayim, so then you're not supposed to give children that age also to drink during the 9 days. So what do you accomplish? So you're going to go for a 2-year-old child, that's no good. You're going to go for a 12-year-old child, that's no good. So you got to aim it right in the middle. So the poskim say, he should be old enough that he's Higil Lechinuch HaBrachas. So he's already, I don't know, what age the kids start to make brachas? I don't know. When do you start to make brachas?
I don't know.
5, 6, and around that. But he doesn't. Most 6-year-olds don't know too much about the Beis Hamikdash. Don't know too much about the Tisha B'Av. Somewhere at that age, 6, 7 of Erech, that should be the age you should try to aim for. Remember, when I used to was at Marsha Kolos, so Baruch Hashem, we always had a constant flow of kids who were that age. We had Rabbi Hulis kids and Rabbi Cohn's kids, so we never had any problem. We always had multiple 6 or 7-year-olds to say it. In the later years, my kids started to be the volunteers for that. So one should try Lechatchila to do that. What if it's not available? It says the child is not available. So the Ramon writes, so you make Avdolah yourself. So big deal. So you drink the wine yourself. It's not so terrible. Because Mikra, then it's Mutta. Since it's a Koshel Brach, it's a Koshel Mitzvah, it was never included in the Minig in the first place. So there's a common problem. Sometimes you make Avdolah 9:45 at night. The kids are sleeping. So you're not mechuyev to wake up your kid unless you're going to watch him for the rest of the night. But you're going to be frum. You're going to wake up your kid and then your wife's going to have to deal with him. So you're not mechuyev to do it. Just make Avdolah yourself and drink the wine yourself and shine and don't worry about it. The Ramon himself is Mekel if there's no child around. A girl may, I think, could also drink. Yeah, so that's so we try to avoid, the Ramah doesn't write that. The Ramah writes not to use beer. The Ramah writes not to use wine to drink it yourself, because we really try to avoid using these types of chamar medinas for Havdalah. Really, chatchili, you're supposed to make Havdalah on wine or in grape juice. Chamar medina is reserved only for situations where there's mamash nothing available. There's no wine available. Then you can discuss chamar medina. Or in very, very unique situations, like the groist of the minigam Mitzvah Pesach, to recite Havdalah on beer, because he felt that it was such a chavivos, so excited to have chametz. So that's like gives it the beer a special status. But in the normal, regular Mitzvah Shabbos, it's really not appropriate to rank to recite Havdalah on beer. That's what we alluded to yesterday also. The saying of Kiddush on Shabbos morning on other kinds of drinks was really also for a place where there's no wine. If you have wine easily available, you're supposed to make Kiddush on wine. There are other minhagim that we have during the period of the 9 days. So the poskim write that one is supposed to refrain from washing during the 9 days, just as an oval doesn't wash in a normal way. The person isn't supposed to wash during the 9 days either. So what exactly does this mean? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, they give you all kind of different guidelines where you're allowed to wash. Allowed to wash part of your body with cold water here on Friday, all kinds of different kolalim. The bottom line is today, probably this minhag for the most part doesn't really exist for the following reason, that the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos that when Rabban Gamliel was once in Ovel, so he was washing himself, and the night that he became in Ovel, so his Talmidim asked him, the din is that an Ovel is not allowed to wash, so Rabban Gamliel responded, he's an istinus, that he's somebody who's very delicate, that he's not going to wash for a couple of days, he's going to start to itch and scratch and feel very icky, so such a person is permitted to wash, because the Hilchos Avelos are supposed to prevent the person from having pleasure. You're not supposed to have enjoyable things, but to a person not machruf to be in physical pain, physical discomfort. So therefore, a person would be permitted to actually wash even in the middle of shiva if he meets the category of what's called an istinus. So you have to be careful in terms of real hilchos avelos. A person's mamish or chamanos lan sitting shiva where there's an isa gomer to wash. So then you have to really be sure that you fall into the category of an istinus to be mutter. But here we're not talking about an isa gomer. We're talking about a minig, which wasn't even acceptable to Rishonim, a minig that we refrain from showering and bathing during the 9 days. So the post came right that if a person falls into the category of an istinus, and then it's going to be mutter, it's not going to be any more chomer than real avelos. So that's what many of the poskim say, that today we're all istinuses in this. Well, that guy, the 9 days always falls out in the middle of the summer. So it's the middle of July, it's 95 degrees outside, the guy's filthy, the guy feels sick at the night if he doesn't take a shower. So that's an istinus, mokom istinus, that's not considered to be a problem. Even without the official formal category of istinus, the poskim right, if the whole purpose is just lahavir as a lichluch, the whole purpose of showering is just to get rid of the dirt. Person's not sitting in a Turkish bath for a while. He's not sitting in the jacuzzi. He's just going for a quick shower to get off the dirt. So that was never included in this minhag in the first place. So that's what we generally assume today. That's what I always tell people, that they should just take their regular showers in the 9 days. And they shouldn't sit in the jacuzzi. Shouldn't go sit in the tub, whatever. Should go quickly, take a quick shower and get the dirt off and shine.
Hot water, cold water.
I, as long as the purpose of why you're taking the shower is to just get rid of the dirt, mikra, then you could use anything. So if you're going quickly, in and out quickly. Baruch Hashem, most of the places where I've been in the summer, in camps, so most of the time the showers are not so hot anyway. You never know when you try. The shower goes hot and cold at whim, so in lucha, it's not such a big time to take showers in camps. But otherwise, first you should take a quick shower and out and get rid of the dirt in Gemara.
Okay.
No, the minig is not to have meat and love
malchah.
What? Even a sedusman, so the minig is not to have meat and love malchah. There's one day in Postman says that any meat that's left over from Shabbos you can still have during the week. We never, once it's mutter to have the child on Shabbos, you can have the child the rest of it. The minig is not to, we don't follow that. Included in this minig of not showering is not swimming either. That's what general. That's what minig is, that we try to avoid swimming during this time. That's a type of a washing and bathing that's more enjoyable. Unless a person also mamshes says, is this guy so unbelievably uncomfortable? The only thing that's gonna chill him out is gonna jump into the pool for a second. All right, so then he can begin to discuss it. I thought a guy take a shower or something. But for most circumstances, one should try to avoid swimming during this period as well. There are other Isurim that appear in the 9 days which are rooted in the halacha itself, but they're rooted in the halacha, what's called Shavu Shechal B'Tishabav. The Mishnah speaks about, the Gemara in the end of the second time speaks about the halachas of Shavu Shechal B'Tishabav. So the week that Tishabav itself falls out in is more chomer. Certain things one is not allowed to do. Also, L'Sapra L'Chapes, one is not permitted to get a haircut in Shavu Shechal B'Tishabav, and one is not permitted to wash his clothes in Shavu Shechal B'Tishabav. So taking a haircut is not relevant for us, because I'm in it, there are more quotes than minig that we don't take haircuts already from Shavuos B'Tammuz. So obviously you're not going to take one during Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, but L'chabes, the Yisr of laundering, so that already becomes relevant for us. So to do laundry during Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av is a real problem. That this year happens to be the longest possible Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, because it's on a Thursday. But the Ramah writes that Aminig is to extend that Isser of doing kibbutz even all the way back to Rosh Chodesh Av. So that's what the Ashkenazi custom is. We do not do laundry starting already from Rosh Chodesh Av. What does it mean we don't do laundry? So there are two parts of not doing laundry. So there's one part of not doing laundry, just the act of doing laundry itself is problematic. Even if one's not going to wear those clothes, one wants to do laundry for after Tisha B'Av, that's a problem. And second of all, what is not supposed to wear, begadim mechubasim, things that were just recently washed, so one is not supposed to wear them either. So what exactly does that mean, things that are just recently washed? So the Pesachei Teshuva and Hilchas Avelos points out, and this halacha also appears, is that this doesn't apply to big day zeah. This doesn't apply to things which a person wears so close to the body that they always change. They constantly have to change. So that was never included in this issa. Why is that? So the Pesachei Teshuva writes, that's istinis. Tell a guy he's got to walk around the same dirty undershirt for a week. So that's not shayach. So in terms of, that's called an istinis. So a person would be permitted to change whenever he feels the necessity to change those things, even during Shiva itself. So for sure, during the 9 days, that would be permissible as well. The Pesachei Teshuva writes that even though it doesn't say this in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, how come the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't point this out when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the Yisr of an Ilchus Avelus and wearing clothes that were just washed? So the Pesachei Teshuva writes, Bitoch Rov Pshituso. He says, it's so obvious, anyone could have figured out on your own that the Yisr doesn't apply to undershirts and underwear and socks and things like that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch didn't bother to say. So that's what I'm thinking, is we assume that during the 9 days, so one is permitted to wear freshly washed, you're not allowed to wash it during the 9 days, you should prepare everything from beforehand, but whatever was prepared beforehand, you're permitted to wear your underwear, undershirt, socks, things like that. Those have to go with to put on, quote unquote, fresh during the 9 days. So what is considered to be also things which are not like that, say pants, I don't know, sweaters, suits, I don't know, things like that. So one should be careful not to wear them freshly washed during the 9 days. What does it mean, freshly washed? So the Poskim quoted Ramah at Hilchas Avelos, where the Ramah speaks about a similar idea, that an Avel is not permitted to do laundry during Shiva. So the Ikra Din of Kibbutz, where an Avel is only during Shiva, not during Shloshim. Shloshim, there are other Yisurim during Shloshim. There are Yisurim of pressing clothes and ironing, things of that nature. But just stop washing clothes during Shloshim, the Ikra Din is Mutar. But there are some Rishon Musayetzos, that Tosfos quotes one day of the Riva, that has his Pshat in the Gemara, that even regular laundering is also during Shloshim. So we don't really pass in that way. But that's what the Minig is. The Minig is that Avelim, even during Shloshim, don't do laundry and don't wear freshly washed clothes. It's a different story, but they don't wear freshly washed clothes during the entire Shloshim. So the Ramah writes that since it's only a minig, it's not Mikra Din, so therefore the minig is that as long as somebody else wears it for a short amount of time, that's not considered to be wearing something freshly washed. So that's what the Ramah says, that's what you should do, is that for an oval during Shloshim, let's say, wants to wear a pair of pants that was just washed, so he should have somebody else put them on for a short amount of time, puts it on and shine, and then the oval could put it on afterwards. So the poskim in concerning the days of the week of Tisha B'Av, so quote the same story. Since the whole Yisurim here are not Mamish Mikra Din, some of them maybe are a little bit more chomer than Avelos, but the minig has become as follows, that as long as somebody else puts them on for you, then it's okay. What do you mean somebody else? When it comes to Shloshim, so you find a non-Ovel, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, who's going to be the somebody else? Everybody's in Avelos with Tisha B'Av. So the answer is you have to do it yourself, you have to do it before the 9 days. So a person has to be careful to put the clothes on before Rosh Chodesh, and then when comes Rosh Chodesh Av, so that's not considered to be putting on fresh clothes. That's what it's based on. It's based on that Ramon of this Avelos. Then in real Avelos, you get somebody else to do it. In Tisha B'Av, you have to do it yourself before Rosh Chodesh. So this is the source for the age-old practice. Anyone who went to camp knows the massive Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, everyone putting on 1,500 shirts and pants and walking around looking like, and right before Rosh Chodesh Av. So that's what the Poskim say, one should try to do it. Not so silly, but one should try to do that. So again, underwear and undershirts and socks and things like that, you don't have to try on. Other kinds of clothes which are not big dezeya, so then one should really put on for a short amount of time. There is a machlokes, the contemporary Ravonim as to whether this applies to shirts or not. A shirt's considered to be a big day zeya or not. So Rav Shimon Eider, his sefer, the 3 weeks, that became like the classic sefer for all the camps, the Paskin, like all the 3 week shailas. So he assumed the chumrah on the shaila. He assumed that shirts are like pants and not like underwear. So therefore you would have to put on all your shirts and beforehand also. And Rabbi Willick thought that wasn't right. He thought that shirts, the guy changed the shirts every day. Should change every other day, the third day, fourth day, whatever. First to change the shirts pretty often. So he thought that also qualifies as a big day zeh, and therefore there would be no need to put it on. So yesh v'yesh, different camps have different minhagim about this. But the basic guidelines, the big day zeh do not have to be put on before, and then other begadim should be put on before, so that exists. How long do they have to be put on from before? So it's no halacha moshesine how long. So the Shachanuch HaZavelus writes that, not so long, an hour or two. That's his lashon. So others say, an hour or two is left off, an hour or two, a minute or two, whatever. It's a heck, it should be a little bit, a short amount of time that beforehand. So Big Day Shabbos is a machlekes, the Ramon, the Gro, where all these things apply to Big Day Shabbos. So the Ramon writes that on Shabbos Chazon, so one should not wear Shabbos clothes. The Ramon's minig was that you should treat it like mamash takavelos, and you shouldn't wear Shabbos clothes. And the Gro writes that it's not appropriate. The Gro says, forget, you should have to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon, and you can wear freshly washed clothes, etc. So that Ramon's l'shitaso nuchas avelos. The Ramon writes that an ovel for the whole Yud Beis Chodesh shouldn't wear Shabbos clothes. He shouldn't get dressed up for Shabbos. He should wear his weekday clothes the entire year of avelos. That's what the Ramon writes. And the minig is that the Birkei Yosef writes that many communities didn't follow that Ramon. What was it based on? Should you wear Shabbos clothes, not wear Shabbos clothes? So I think the Birkei Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, writes that it depends on the situation, depends on the community. It depends whether most people were able to afford two suits or not. So in the days of the Ramah, so people were very poor in Krakow. They didn't have anything in Krakow. I saw Krakow. The whole Jewish town of Krakow where the Ramah lived was three blocks. The Jews weren't allowed to live outside of the three blocks. They had thousands of people living in three tiny blocks, two by nothing. So people were very poor. So many people weren't able to afford Shabbos suits. So therefore, if a person would walk with the shul wearing a weekday suit, wearing his work clothes or something, people wouldn't think that he was an avelos. So it wouldn't be a violation of avelos before hasya. So the isser is on Shabbos, you're not supposed to show public manifestations of avelos. So if a guy walks into shul wearing his work clothes, so people are going to think, Nebuch, the guy's poor, doesn't have any money. So no one's going to say, oh, because he's an avelos. That's why half the shul is wearing weekday clothes. So if that's the case, then it's takla. You can wear weekday clothes for an avil, it wouldn't be considered to be a bizarre of Shabbos. Hashem, if you live in a community where Baruch Hashem people have a little bit more money, it's Vilna. That was real rich Jews in Vilna in the 17th where the girl lived. So if you live in a community where everybody has Shabbos clothes, you can have one guy's going to pop into shul wearing his weekday clothes. So everyone's going to realize, oh, that guy, because he's an avelos. That's not right. That's avelos for Hesia. So that's where the girl felt that to tell people to wear weekday clothes would be mamash avelos for Hesia. The same would be true in Shabbos Chazon. Then in Shabbos Chazon, everyone's going to come to shul with their weekday clothes. Everyone's going to realize, wait a second. And this is Shabbos Chazon. This is not right. This is avelos for Hesia. So therefore, the girl said the minig should be dafka not to wear the weekday clothes on Shabbos. You should dafka wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. That's what the minig in our communities at Baruch Hashem. We're able to afford Shabbos clothes. So you can imagine what Shabbos Chazon would look like. Everyone walk with the shul in their weekday outfit. So that would not be appropriate. That would be a bizarre of Shabbos. That would be avelos for Hesia, and that would not be permissible. So therefore, our minig is both in terms of a real oval. Nobody follows this Ramon today. Everybody, real avelim wear Shabbos clothes. Whole Yud Beis Chodesh, and who are denami in Shabbos Chazon, I'm going to wear Shabbos clothes, and therefore the post can say you can put in a clean Shabbos suit, a clean Shabbos shirt, whatever. You don't have to worry about having put it on from beforehand. When do all these minhagim and dinim / minhagim of the 9 days end? So there's machlekes in the Gemara about it when it ends. So we paskin that there's one day in the Gemara that says Shavuot Shechava Tisha B'Av applies even after Tisha B'Av. Means the whole week of Tisha B'Av you have to keep these halachos. We paskin only until Tisha B'Av itself. So Mikra din, once Tisha B'Av is over, all these things are over. Nevertheless, there is a minig that appears in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah a little bit in a different way, that we extend many of these dinim and then many of these minhagim into the 10th of Av. And the reason being is that the Gemara tells us that most of the Beis HaMikdash actually burnt on the 10th of Av. The fire was started on the 9th of Av. That's why Chazal instituted Tisha B'Av to be Tisha B'Av. But since a lot of the Beis HaMikdash was still burning through much of the day of 10th of Av, so therefore, it's to remember that, we observe Quasi Avelos into the 10th of Av as well. The Ramah writes that Aminig is to Intul Chatzos. Ad Kan B'Lo Yoyse, Intul Chatzos on Yud B'Av. That's what we observe Avelos. So here, there are a few exceptions to this rule. This minig of extending the Avelus into the 10th of Av sometimes is limited. So let's say, for example, let's say if Tisha B'Av is a Nidche, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and is pushed off until Sunday, so then there's no purpose of observing Avelus on Sunday night. It's not the 10th of Av, it's 11th of Av already. So then all the minhagim and the halachas of the 9 days end with the end of Tisha B'Av. The only thing is, there are more rights. You shouldn't have Bosa V'Yayim. To sit down and matzoik Tisha B'Av and have a barbecue or something, that's already, that's pasnish, that's not appropriate. But you can take a shower, you can shave, whatever you want to do, you can do the laundry on matzoik Tisha B'Av, if it's not really Tisha B'Av, it was already Yud B'Av. And similarly, the poskim HaMeikel, that there are more rights that, let's say if Tisha B'Av falls out like this year, so Tisha B'Av is going to be on a Thursday, hopefully it won't be Tisha B'Av, but if it'll be on a Thursday, so then matzoik Tisha B'Av, technically speaking, you really shouldn't be doing laundry. You shouldn't really be getting a haircut. You shouldn't be shaving. But here, it's a problem of Kavod Shabbos. If you're going to tell somebody you can't do the laundry until 12 or till 1 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, no one's going to have underwear for Shabbos. No one's going to have shirts for Shabbos. So if you tell somebody you can't get a haircut till tomorrow afternoon, the barber's going to be so jammed, no one's going to have time to get haircuts. So therefore, the Ramah writes that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday, the whole thing is only a minig anyway. So they've been mocking Kavod Shabbos. As soon as Tisha B'Av is over, whatever is necessary for Kavod Shabbos would be permissible. So therefore, the haircuts would be permissible. Laundry would be permissible. Shaving, what's the big tzarech to shave? Shave tomorrow afternoon also. That's tricky. Boss of a yai, that's not permissible. Other things, music, other kinds of things. So what's the big tzarech? What's the big kavod Shabbos for that? You got to get the kalbach tapes going already. So you wait till after chatzos to start the music. So whatever's not absolutely necessary for kavod Shabbos, so one should really push off. But under normal circumstances, one should avoid whatever the isurim and the minhagim of the 9 days should really extend until chatzos of Motzai Tisha B'Av. Remember a couple of years ago there was a big crisis in some of the camps. What was the crisis? Called poor planning. The poor planning was that they planned a changeover day for the camps, the day between the two halves of camp. So they planned changeover day on Motzai Tisha B'Av. The way the calendar worked out well for them. So changeover day in camp was Motzai Tisha B'Av. What was the problem? So there was the problem was that all the mothers wanted to send up the kids with clean clothes. But they hadn't done the laundry in the last 9 days. So you're going to go send up your kid to camp for the first day of camp. The kids were coming for August. So they're going to come up with a suitcase with a trunk full of filthy filthy clothes. So that was a problem. So there was a big tumult that year about, is it mutter to do the laundry on Motzoi Tisha B'Av that year? What's the kula? The Ramah doesn't talk about change over there. What's the kula? The kula is, I know what the kula is. The kula is that tzarech kol. It's a big hefset. It's a big something. I don't know, whatever it is. The kid's going to have dirty underwear for the first week until it gets laundry done. So was that enough grounds to be making? I don't know. So some people were asking what my opinion was. So the truth is that the Mishnah Berurah alludes to the fact that not all the poskim accepted this minig of waiting until chatzos on the next day. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are some achronim who write the minig was only for basa v'yayin. It wasn't for laundry and showers and haircuts. Those things were never included in the minig. But the Mishnah Berurah is not naked on that. The Mishnah Berurah writes that most of the poskim quoted this minig even concerning the showering and the laundry. So I think the proper thing to do is to follow this minig. I don't know, those are shasat chach. What are you going to do otherwise? The kid's going to be stuck with dirty laundry for a week. So, those who wanted to rely on the mekilim. I don't know, it's hard for me to say. But it was a little bit of a poor planning in terms of nobody chopped that thing. I remember when I was, one summer, I'd gone up to, one of the summers before, I was in Marasha. So I'd been in L.A. for the summer, and it was the end of the summer. So I went up to another camp for a couple of days to say some shiurim, and it happened to have been over Tisha B'Av. So it was Matzoi Tisha B'Av, and the Matzoi Tisha B'Av that year was also like this year. Tisha B'Av was on a Thursday. So it was Matzoi Tisha B'Av, so the people in the camp were tumbling about is it right for us to rely on this kula of doing the laundry on Matzoi Tisha B'Av itself. Maybe we should wait until Friday morning. I should wait for him. I don't understand. There was a whole tumult. Everyone was. I don't know what they were talking about. I said, the Ramah says that it's mutter. The Ramah says that whatever's necessary to do. So you're allowed to do. So they were tiny. No, we can get it all done in the morning. So what's the matter of the morning? I don't know. I'm not sure. A lot of terrorists go on in camp in this area. The bottom line is the Ramah says that in this year, so whatever's necessary to cover Shabbos would be permissible to do. Whatever's not necessary to cover Shabbos, so one should refrain from doing. who is included in all these minhagim that we're speaking about. So obviously anyone over bar by mitzvah is included in this, but even children should be included in this also, even though generally we do not have, there's no chinuch for avelos. So Rechman Letzlan, the child loses a relative, so the child's under bar by mitzvah, they don't sit shiva. We pass Shan Rishon, but we pass in Shulchan Aruch that there's no shiva, there was no chinuch, the Chazal never instituted chinuch for avelos. One of the reasons is given is that chinuch is supposed to train the person to do the mitzvahs that we want him to do when he gets older. So we want him to learn how to put on tefillin, learn how to sit in the sukkah, to wear tzitzit, to shofar. You don't want to train a child in avelos. Chalil, chalil. You don't want to get him to the habit of sitting shiva. So they never instituted the chinuch for avelos. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that the avelos for the churban that they did institute. That the minhag is that even children should be trained in this area. So there's a shayla in the poskim about just how old these children are. So some poskim said that at least they're gil chinuch something, but you have to train a 2-year-old. You can't give meat to a 2-year-old. That's what some said. Others said, yeah, even to a 2-year-old, you shouldn't give any children, shouldn't give anybody boss of a yayin, shouldn't give them. Everyone should be in the. It's a velos to rob him. Everybody should be included, even mitaf, even from the littlest children. So, no, depends on the kid. Some kids they only eat. My kids only eat one thing. My son only eats schnitzel. That's it. Doesn't eat anything else. So if you just the kid only eats schnitzel, you can tell the kid not to eat for the whole week. So no. What are you going to do? But as much as we can try to train our children, at least slightly older children, in terms of these things. So that's really the proper mahalach. But it's a time of Eis Tzar. It's a time of avelos for all of Klai Yisrael. Even the children a little bit gradually should be included in this avelos as well. Okay.
Some folks say that as long as it's their Shabbos. That's the kid's Shabbos.